Life Matters, a Penn Mutual podcast for financial professionals, bringing you life insurance insights from advanced sales experts and life insurance specialists. Grow a stronger practice today.
Welcome to Life Matters, a Penn Mutual podcast. I'm your host, Bill Bell, Vice President of Advanced Sales with Penn Mutual. And this is part two of a very special episode of the podcast. I know those of you that listened to part one, you've been counting the seconds until we released part two. And here it is. And we've got more great information for you in this particular part of the episode. Now, as we had with episode one, I have a co-host, Jenna Washaka from the Advanced Sales Team. Say hi to everybody, Jenna.
Hey, Bill.
I said say hi to everybody, Jenna, not just me.
Hello, everyone.
All right, that's better. So, Jenna, you had a second conversation, this one with two of our awesome 1847 financial professionals. Who is it that you talked to this time around, and what were some initial learnings that you'd like to share?
Absolutely. And it was such an empowering conversation. We were truly honored to be able to speak with Joanna Craney and Melanie Calusi. Joanna Craney is the founder and partner and special needs planner at Empowered Financial Strategies. And Melanie is the president at Bridger Financial Group. I think just on a personal level, Joanna, she specializes in the special needs market. She has over 13 years of experience in the financial services industry. Really just a dynamic, wonderful, special person that I love speaking with. And Melanie is an absolute rock star. She's been in the industry for over 20 years. She has 10 awards in the industry. I think you're absolutely going to love hearing from both of them.
I think we established in part one that all four of our guests were rock stars. So let's not short Joanna. She's a rock star too.
I should tell you about some of the rock star music I was listening to yesterday to sort of give me amped up for these episodes. There's some good songs in there. If you ask the internet to give you some empowering women songs, there was a good lineup.
Oh, now I'm interested to know who it is. We'll talk about that offline. Maybe we'll share that in a future blog at some point in the future. With that, let's go to the conversation that you had with Melanie and Joanna.
Awesome. Joanna and Melanie, thank you so much for being here. We're so excited to have you on the podcast. Really appreciate you sharing your time today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, excited to be here today.
I want to hear just the 1 minute version of your practice. So Melanie, can I start with you? Give me the 1 minute version of your practice, your clients, the markets that you serve.
I would consider myself a generalist. So we actually, with Bridger Financial Group, we work with 20-year-olds up to 90-year-olds currently. So, you know, my goal is really at the end of the day to just help people. And however we are doing that, best serve for whatever the relationship is, we're open to doing that.
I love it. Joanna, I would love to hear yours.
So the clients that we primarily serve are busy families, some who have businesses, successful professionals who are motivated to achieve their own financial security. We do have a special niche in working with families who have children with special needs. I feel that one of the unique things about our practice is that Carolyn, my business partner, and I wear two different hats. We have two different expertise. She focuses on designing our retirement income strategies for our families, and I really spend a lot of the time in the special needs arena, which are really critically important when working with these families. We need both. We often say Carolyn puts the oxygen mask on our parents. I put the oxygen mask on our children.
I love that. And I see you have the designation from the American College. How important has that been for your practice?
That's been very important. I think education has really given me the confidence to lead. I want to say fearlessly, because there's definitely some fear there. It has been at times.
Sure.
But really, it's given me the confidence to work in this space, which is near and dear to my own heart. And I can tell you a little bit more about that when I give you a little bit of background about my own story. But the educational piece has been important.
All right, Joanna, so I'd love to hear a little bit more. How did you get into the insurance business? And did you face any barriers when coming into the industry?
So I was a scientist by background. I had no intentions of getting into the financial industry. I kind of fell into it. I was working as an assistant in a financial planning firm throughout college. And I went off, did my career in the pharmaceutical industry, and I found myself laid off at a certain point because big pharma was having big blockbuster drugs going off patent. So there was a lot of these big pharmaceutical companies having mass layoffs. And the advisor I used to work for called me back, and I went back and worked for him for a couple years. I didn't even think I was going to be there that long, quite honestly.
Right.
And I liked what I was doing. I was around more people versus robots, which was what I was used to in the lab. And I liked it. I really was curious about the financial industry. And 2015, I decided that I was going to take a leap. And I was a single mom at the time, to talk about a barrier. That was barrier number one, that I had to face that fear, because I knew I could have an impact with the experience and the knowledge that I had gained over the few years working with this team of advisors. I guess I just didn't see myself as an advisor because I was surrounded by all men.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was intimidating. And so I took a leap of faith. And one of the first things that I did was go to the American College and get my chartered CHFC, which is the Chartered Financial Consultant designation, which really gave me the confidence to, because I had a science background, you know, and I was like, how am I going to do this? I know that I have the empathy. I know that I can build relationships. I definitely had the experience working as an assistant, but I feel like the Chartered Financial Consultant designation really gave me the confidence to lead confidently into this space. And so I became an advisor in 2015. There were two things that really changed the trajectory of my practice, which was finding the niche that I found, which was the special needs planning. I grew up with two sisters with special needs, so this was near and dear to my own heart. I knew that I could build a practice because I could relate to this community because I had been around the disability community my whole life. And the other thing that really changed the trajectory of my practice was finding the financial modeling system that we use in our practice, which is called LEAP, and it stands for Lifetime Economic Acceleration Process. As a scientist, I was really frustrated when I came into this industry because it was nothing but a hodgepodge of financial products. And you sit across from the table from people and you realize that they have no understanding of what they have or why they implemented it. And so this process really does validate the strategies that we are proposing with our clients and helps guide them make confident decisions around their finances. And so it was a really, really neat tool. And that's actually one of the reasons I started working with my business partner, Carolyn Humphrey, who was training on this process at the time. And I said, hey, can we work some cases together? I think this is exactly the process I've been looking for this whole time.
That's awesome. I love that story. And something that you said about how you looked around entering the industry and it seemed like everyone was male. And I came across this statistic that sort of blew my mind, that it was a research study that said that only 15%, not 50, 15% of financial professionals are female. So Melanie, I would love to hear a bit from you. Tell me, how have you been able to move confidently into this space when you look around and you see a primarily male-dominated industry?
When I started in the industry, I would say I didn't look around confidently because it was probably even worse than I started in 1997. Similar to Joanna, you know, getting advanced certification. So I have the Certified Financial Planner designation, the Accredited Estate Planner designation, and the additional knowledge has helped me be more confident. But it's also, I guess, frankly, at this point, my tenure. You know, as a financial advisor, a certified financial planner, and as long as I've been doing it, I don't have that same fear as when I was newer. So I have the luxury of that. For newer young women entering the industry, you know, I see that as still a similar challenge. It is still, to your point, primarily male dominated, and having women mentors or female mentors like us that can guide and help support some of these other younger women that are coming into the industry is really critical. And I see that as a challenge still in this industry that we need to do something about.
Absolutely. And I think the thing that kind of blows my mind too is just the amount of opportunity that's out there. So I, in preparing for this podcast, I came across this study and I have told so many people about it since I read it, because it stuck with me where it said, so it was a McKinsey study and it predicted that by 2030, which is only 6 years from now, women will hold more than 2/3 of the wealth in the United States. I guess I've always thought about the women's market as being like this niche practice area. It's like, no, this is now a mass market. This is no longer something that you specialize in. Like, this is something that you have to evolve to meet this need if you want to be successful. At least that's how I feel about it. I would love to hear a bit from you. Melanie, let's start with you. How do you think that for this particular market, how are female financial professionals uniquely equipped to help meet the need?
Well, one, we're female. So but frankly, I feel very adamant about helping other women and supporting other women primarily because of my history and being in a overly male-dominated industry in and of itself. So I feel strongly about helping empower and support other women. But in order for anybody to be successful in working with women, you know, we think differently than men. We do things differently than men. We build relationship differently than men. So I think we already have an advantage just because of that in being successful in working with women moving forward or even currently. And truly, I believe that if a male wants to be successful in that type of arena, primarily focusing on women, they have to think differently. They have to build relationship differently.
I love it. And Joanna, you had talked about, I love that you are a scientist at heart. That so I guess to throw another statistic at you, I feel like we can speak the same language on this. I came across a study, it was by LIMRA, that said that more than 40% of American women actively say they want more life insurance. So there are 40% of us out there. They said it's about 56 million. So there's 56 million women who need life insurance. But at the same time, I've also read studies that say, for whatever reason, I can certainly opine on several, we have a hard time finding a financial professional that we can relate to and that we can trust. I would love to hear more about how you feel women can help meet this need in the industry.
When you think about that statistic, it's like mind-boggling. And you know, it's funny, I'm in discussions right now with an organization called Purse Strings, and it's all about finding a financial professional who speaks to women, who understands the women's market, who understands their needs, who won't turn the woman away as soon as they sit down together because they understand what or what not to say. And so I think it really goes to really like fine-tuning the message that's out there, making sure that our advisors are trained to understand the female market. I think that's one of the most important things that we can do is have our advisors, both men and women. I mean, right? So we really need our men to get on board with getting trained. I mean, this is where I think it's actually really critical because women know what women want, right? But not necessarily, and by no fault of theirs, you know, men don't always understand that. And so I think it would be helpful for companies to spend some time making sure that their advisors understand both markets, right? So making sure that they understand addressing the female market.
I would add in, though, as well, that I personally believe that it can be challenging finding, if you're looking for insurance, it can be challenging finding that financial professional because often what is most marketed are investment advisors. You know, you're hearing from the wirehouses, you're hearing from Edward Jones and companies like that. And most of those investment advisors aren't trained in appropriate amounts of life insurance or even having that conversation. You know, I'll tell you, I came from that world before I moved out to Pennsylvania, and I, in 10 years, maybe sold 3 life insurance policies. So they weren't, you know, I was putting myself out there as a financial advisor, and I was ultimately a financial planner, but that wasn't part of my practice. So it's also communicating to the public the expertise that each financial professional has appropriately as well, so that they know that if it's insurance that they're looking for, they can go there.
That's such a great point, Melanie. And I think too, women are looking for financial advisors. They should ask what type of advisor they're sitting across the table from. Is this an insurance only, an investment? Do you do both? What does your practice look like as far as how much is spent on life insurance versus investments, annuities? I think that is something that can help, is to really understand who you're sitting across the table from. And if you're putting yourself out there as a planner, I truly believe you should be educated in both arenas.
Melanie, let me ask you, you had talked a little bit about the importance of having female mentors who can guide you in this industry. Talk to me a little bit about what that has looked like for you and where you find those relationships.
What that's looked like for me has been a couple of actually very instrumental women over the years that I've been in the industry. One was the original female financial advisor that I worked with, and she helped me get my feet wet, if you will, and really learn the ropes. And that was important because it can be a very lonely place as a woman in financial services, especially as an advisor. So just having that camaraderie at the institution that, or the company that I was with now, you know, 15 years ago, we also really worked on women's study groups, and we had a conference just for women. So it was a great way to collaborate and meet other women in as a financial advisor in the industry. So that was also very helpful. I've had women outside of the industry. I've had a CPA and just a woman who was an entrepreneur that was very successful that helped me learn how to be an entrepreneur, because that's not something that is taught to us, you know, coming into this industry. So those women were also very instrumental in helping me.
Joanna, I'd love to hear from you about what mentorship, sponsorship, what all of that has looked like for you and how that has impacted your career.
Yeah, so I would say that I think the most valuable mentorship that I've had is really meeting my business partner, Carolyn, because we can totally relate to the fact of not being heard at the table. So we make sure that both of us are heard, our voices matter. So that has worked really, really well. Do I feel that mentorship is really critical? I do. I have found mentorship through women's study group that I started, and also through women in financial services. Even if it wasn't like true mentorship, I do feel like I have the ability to bounce ideas off of other entrepreneurs and financial professionals through women in financial services. And that has been helpful as well. Just to hear what other people are doing, what challenges they're facing, like you can relate to it. How did you overcome those challenges? What's working, what's not working, has been really helpful.
And Women in Insurance and Financial Services, that's the organization WIFS?
Yes, that is correct.
Awesome. Yeah, I had the privilege of getting to go to one of their conferences a couple years ago, and it was really very powerful and inspiring to see so many women together just kind of applauding each other. And that was wonderful to see. And I think the thing I'm learning about mentorship too is it doesn't have to look a certain way. Like some of my more powerful mentorship relationships, one was just with a co-mentor. Like we kind of co-mentor each other. We're sort of on the same level, but we relate to each other in the way that you were just explaining. And sometimes it's just very quick conversations, but it's like someone I still hold in such high esteem that I'm like, that person is a mentor to me. Okay, so I'm going to go off script a little bit. So I'm super interested in time travel. So if you could go back in time and find your back in time version of yourself just getting started in the industry. Melanie, I'll start with you, and I'm sorry to sort of hit you with this with no script, but what would you tell her? Like, how would you encourage her to stick with it?
Well, I think I have stuck with it. I'm 27 years in now, so that's a good question. I think stand up for myself more when it was appropriate. It's really interesting, you know, starting as an assistant in the industry, I was used to helping and supporting other people. And as I moved to Pennsylvania and had to start over, I really was still comfortable in that I support other people role. And mind you, this is, you know, 15 years ago. I haven't been in Pennsylvania that long. So it was finally at the point that I was kind of forced to be the lead and to step out and be the one in charge and to be the one that was responsible for all of the stuff that I really felt a shift and a change. And the success was a lot different as well at that point, significantly more. So I would tell my past self, don't be afraid to do that. You know, feel the fear and do it anyway. Be that person that's not afraid to step out, or even if you do, who cares? Step out and do it sooner.
Melanie, can you like call me every morning and tell me that? Because I feel like I need to hear that. That was so well said. Joanna, I'd love to hear from you. So you get in your time travel machine, you go back. Like, what would you tell yourself about this industry? Like, why is this a good fit for women? Why was this a good fit for you? How has this enabled you to be the person that you are? Like, what would you go back and tell her?
I would go back and tell her that it doesn't have to be perfect. It can be messy, and it will be. That not everything is going to happen the way you want it, and that's okay. To find that person early on that you can connect with, that you can relate with, that you can bounce ideas off of, that you feel heard and valued. That I think was, you know, something I wish I found early on in my career. And don't stop learning, because I don't know what it was, but even in my pharmaceutical days, I was told like not to get educated. Like, don't waste your time getting that degree. I don't know why. I think that is just it's ludicrous that someone would ever say that. That is what helped me build my confidence in being the successful financial advisor I am today. And I mean, I'm a nerd. I'm the first to say it. I say it all the time. I love learning. And so if I spend the rest of my time in this career, I will always be reading, and that could be going to conferences, getting another designation. I won't stop. And I think to Melanie's point is, you know, really punch that fear in the face, because it is scary. I mean, one of my biggest fears was getting out in front of a group of parents and doing a special needs workshop. I mean, I was red in the face, trembling over my words, hot and sweaty. I told myself there's no way to do this. Just do it. You just have to do it. Get out there and do it. And eventually you'll feel confident. And I wish I would have done that earlier, because it took me a little prompting to get to that point.
And they were probably just so grateful you were there and grateful to have your advice and to have the knowledge that you bring to the table. This is awesome. I have just a few more questions for both of you. One, I want to talk a little bit about trends that you see in the industry, because it seems like in some ways it seems like the industry is, it just has like never changed. And in other ways, it's like, man, now we have accelerated underwriting, we have machine learning, we have AI. Seems like most, you know, websites have moved to LinkedIn. I mean, what trends do you think are important to keep an eye on? What are things that you're doing in your practice? Melanie, I'd love to start with you.
I think technology is a huge game changer and definitely a trend that's going to continue. We're going to continue to see more and more advancements from a tech standpoint that will help support us in this industry. So from my perspective, the things that I'm looking for, how do we streamline, how do we become more efficient in the day-to-day tasks so that we can spend the most time, those of us on the team, having those conversations with clients, because at the end of the day, that's what's most important. I see that you'll continue to see trends from a technology standpoint. In addition, there's the conversations about AI and how does that help us? So it can help us from a marketing standpoint in writing our copy to be better SEO, you know, all optimized, all of that kind of stuff. I see that as a good thing. Frankly, other than that, I still, you know, I have my Remarkable, so I still like handwriting notes, but now I've, again, utilized technology to help streamline the note-taking process. But frankly, it's still going to be those conversations, the good old-fashioned conversations with clients that is core and most important in our industry.
Joanne, I'd love to hear from you. Like, what trends are you keeping an eye on?
Yeah, I think, I mean, AI is something that I am curious about. I just started using, as Melanie mentioned, to write. We put some blogs out on our webpage, and it helps me even just to formulate my thoughts, about a certain topic. And then it's almost like when I'm creating a recipe, I'm Italian, right? So it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, right? I choose the ingredients. I pick out, just whatever I have, and I make something with it. And so I feel like that's what I do when I'm writing these blogs, is I'll pick and choose what I want to pull into the conversation or the discussion, to make it what I want. So it's really tailored, but I'm utilizing it to support my writing. I think, technology, we have a love-hate relationship with. When it's working great, it's phenomenal. When it's not, you're so frustrated. But I think what Melanie said really rings true is that we're using it in a supportive role to streamline our business and to make it more efficient. But the key is us sitting in front of our clients. And it goes back to, like, there's no one that's going to replace, a robot is never going to replace us as advisors, because of that human touch, that human empathy. And I think that will always be, but we can certainly use technology in a supportive way. I love the accelerated underwriting process. I think that has been such a game changer. I don't know what we would have done if we didn't have that during COVID. I mean, there were so many fears going into COVID, like, how's our business going to change? And thank God we had accelerated underwriting and Zoom and DocuSign. Actually, those three things, or else we would have been in a lot of trouble. We wouldn't have been able to continue to meet with our clients. We wouldn't have been able to deliver webinars. We wouldn't have been able to continue to sign documents. So making sure that we're keeping up with things that can continue to support us in our practice is going to always be a critical piece of our development.
So this is, as you know, a Penn Mutual podcast. So I do have to take a moment and, I guess, just like give a nod to Penn Mutual. What is it about Penn Mutual that differentiates for you? Why is this a carrier that you like doing business with? Joanna, I would love to start with you.
Yeah, sure. I think one of the reasons that we love working with Penn Mutual is that it is a mutually owned company. And I think that that's important. I think the other thing is that they have really great products. And so we feel confident when we are recommending their products to our clients, that they're solid products. That they only focus really in two areas, which is life insurance and annuities. So it's not like they're out there and trying to be everything. They are very specific with as far as what they're delivering. And I think that's important.
A focused value proposition.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
Melanie, I'd love to hear from you. Why Penn Mutual? Is it the trips? Is it the ACE program? What is it for you about Penn Mutual?
Relationships is important to me. And when I was first recruited to Penn Mutual, I really didn't have any idea. I just knew I didn't like where I was at. So luck of the draw, if you will. And, over the years of having partnered with Penn Mutual, I've learned that they do listen. It's not only all the things that Joanna mentioned, it's they listen. And if we have a suggestion for improvement, we as the end user for Penn Mutual, frankly, the customer of Penn Mutual, they listen. And I feel that I do have a relationship with the people at Penn Mutual that can make decisions and or, do whatever it is that we need. And I like that. For me, growing up in Montana and being in a small town, Penn Mutual to me still has that small town feel, but with big capabilities. And that's something that's important as well.
I love that. We may have to steal that tagline. Okay, so this one's a fun one because I feel like most of the women that I know don't have any free time. But when you do have maybe it's 45 seconds, maybe it's 45 minutes of free time, Joanna, what are you doing with your free time?
Silence. Silence. I swear it's the truth. I just want peace and quiet.
That's the best.
The mom of three kids, dog, busy practice. I just want time just to hear nothing, to meditate.
I love it. What about you, Melanie? What are you doing?
CrossFit. I am currently doing a rowing challenge. I am rowing 20,000. Well, I did 25,000 meters in January. I'm going to row 20,000 meters a month for the rest of this year. So I am spending my free time to do that, but it doesn't take that much time to get that done.
That seems like it takes a lot of time.
No. Actually. It's not too bad. But you know what's so funny? I agree with Joanna. Actually, when I like coming into the office, and when I drive to the office and come home, I drive in silence.
There you go. Well, thank you both so much. I can't thank you enough for being here. It has been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to connecting with you both and cheering you on from the sidelines. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Wow, Jenna, what another great conversation. Episode 2 was just as good as episode 1. I really loved hearing from them. I especially loved hearing kind of some of the backstory and how they got to where they are and what their focus of their practice is. What just a couple of pros and two people that I was really excited to hear from. So, I mean, just from an overall tenor perspective, Jenna, what were your takeaways without getting into any specifics?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. My favorite conversation was that if you could go back in time and tell yourself something, what would it be? I think that's just some really honest answers there, and love the idea of telling your former self, like, to stand up for herself. I think a lot of us need to hear that. And so I absolutely loved it.
Didn't Cher write a song about that at some point?
You would know.
I think she was turning back time. I seem to recall a video on a naval ship and everything. So
there you go.
All right. Very good. Well, hey, thank you again for joining us for this second part of this special episode. I did have a couple of housekeeping items to cover before we let you go here. First of all, if you have an email for myself or Jenna or Melanie or Joanna or anybody associated with the podcast, you can send it to me at lifematters@penmutual.com. That's a special mailbox that only I have access to. And I do read and respond to every email that's sent there. So again, lifematters@penmutual.com. Secondly, reviews. We've gotten some. I love them. Please continue to do that. I think that we're up to 13 reviews on Apple Podcast, which is awesome. Jenna, did you leave us a review yet?
Oh, no. I must. I guess I do.
All right. Homework to be had. Please continue to send in your reviews. It helps to boost visibility of the show. Just a couple of things that people have said about the show. Paul from Kansas City said, I enjoyed the show. A lot of great insights. And Keith said, hey, I wanted to send you a quick note and let you know how much I really love the Life Matters podcast. We got a review on Apple Podcasts that talked about how much they loved hearing from Dave O'Malley and his story that was way back in episode 1. And then from this guy that might be familiar to some of you, Steven in Orange County here, he said, loved the interview with Dave. His awesomeness in running a life insurance company redeems him for his poor choice for NFL postseason results. So for those of you that didn't listen to episode 1, now you're going to have to go back and listen to it so you can hear what Steven talked about. So for Jenna, Joanna, Melanie, I'm Bill Bell. Thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.